This is Real Talk, the Customer Insights Show with Christoph Trapp, a top-rated live stream and podcast in the market research and insights industry. We stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can listen on all major podcast channels and watch on dbtv.tv. Join Christoph and his guests for a weekly discussion around topics that will help you understand your customers better. Real Talk is presented to you by VoxPopMe, the leader in video research for over a decade. Here's today's conversation.
Hello, insights professionals, marketers, and everyone who wants to understand their customers better. I'm Christoph Trapp. I'm your new host, and we're going to be talking about customer centricity today. What's interesting to me about this topic, everybody is talking about it, or a lot of people are talking about it, but who's actually doing it well? Well, one person that's doing it well is Diane Haluska. She is a customer service and experience leader at PVH. That's Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, those two companies. And she is a thought leader out there in the field. But before we get to her, I do want to send a quick shout out to Jen Mancusi. A little over 2 years ago, maybe longer, 100-some episodes, she got Real Talk going here with VoxPopMe. And 100-some episodes later, it's time to turn it over to me. And certainly, I wish the best of luck to Jen in her next adventure. But we wouldn't have gotten here without her leadership and on-air qualities and services. So definitely appreciate her for that. But let's get to today's guest, Diane Haluska, a thought leader already in customer centricity. So let's find out what we can all learn together. Diane, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Really appreciate you you coming on the show. And we ran across each other because I was looking for a customer centricity expert, and you were on the top of the list on LinkedIn. So
that's just some really good algorithm. I'm trying here, you know?
You're trying and you're getting it done. But hey, to get us started, can you give us an overview? What have you been doing in the industry, and why is customer centricity such an important topic to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm happy that you kind of alluded to it within the introduction. So I run customer service for North America for PVH Corp. And for those of you who are like, what's PVH? We own iconic brands such as Calvin Klein and Tommy Hilfiger. And that's, you know, really important to me within the CS space, because over the past few years, especially during like the pandemic and afterwards, CS is transitioning, I know they're different, into CX as well as a partner to CX, because the consumer demands were so heightened during that time, regardless or not of kind of what you've been selling. So I've been along for the ride there, because I truly feel as though customer service sits on a gold mine of unsolicited feedback from our consumers that will provide us insight to what we're selling, where they're shopping. And I would love to shout that from the rooftops to anyone who actually listens, to see what we can do to improve what we're selling, how they're purchasing with us, everything. So I've just kind of been on that CS to CX trajectory and championing and advocating for our consumers within PVH. And funny story, not funny, but I'm going to age myself here a little bit. So prior to coming to PVH, I worked with a company who installed premise-based, pre-cloud-based telephony systems, where the technologies and the user interfaces were coming out, and it was fairly new. And I had the distinct pleasure of going to numerous businesses, different industries, and helping them not only use these technologies, but what they can do with said technologies, as well as behavioral aspects to support their customers. And that was the spark that kind of got me going within this industry, because I don't care if you're, you know, being transferred to someone, you need a follow-up, you have a problem. When those contacts and stuff were coming in, my first goal was like, what can we do to make your experience great today? That's what sparked it, got me into PVH, and kind of cascaded up through there.
You know, it's always interesting to me when you talked about the gold mine that you sit on of customer feedback, especially, you know, for in the customer service area. It drives me crazy when I call a company, and I guess it hasn't happened too recently, but it has in the past. And you know what happens is I have to repeat myself 12 times. And I'm like, why don't you already know this about me? Why don't you already why haven't you heard me the first six times I said this? So what tips do you have to actually make that process easier? Is it about people? Is it about workflows? Is it about technology? Or how do you make sure you get that gold mine, get that gold extracted out of the mine?
Yeah. And I think there's kind of two parts to that question. It's about knowing your consumer up front and then providing, you know, the reasons for their contact afterwards. It really, in my mind, has to do with technologies, right? Are your marketing platforms integrated with your customer service platforms where you can showcase consumer information, you know, loyalty status, right? Are you a VIP client of ours? What's your lifetime spend? What's your monthly spend? Have you contacted us before? What's your information? What order management system are we hooked into to essentially provide to said agent as soon as that contact vertical comes up, right? I would really enjoy it if I know you're calling me about an order, you're calling me about an email received, whatever the case may be. But if you don't have that technology to showcase that to the agent up front, or even allow self-service functionality that you may want to participate in instead of speaking to someone, then there could be a real miss. And then the other part of that is obviously the associates. And I know that we're going to be talking about consumer centricity here in the CS and CX space, but we really also should be focusing on associate or employee centricity, because the work that CS agents do, some of them may feel as though it's not as significant to others as it is to someone like me or some of themselves, or they want to progress further within their career. So what are we doing as leaders to make them want to help you more? So you got to me and you're speaking to me for the 12th time. How do I understand and immediately correct that to change your experience going forward?
Yeah, it's definitely about, you know, the employees also having a good experience. And I notice that sometimes, especially when American Airlines calls me, who's my preferred airline for the last few years, and they just feel like they want to help you. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're just nice. They're talking to you like a friend. Now, the couple of follow-up questions I want to ask you briefly here are, you talked about integration, and also what I'm going to summarize, and tell me if I'm oversimplifying, but really centralized data. Right? Because if you have all these different systems going into different places, how are you ever going to find anything when you need it? So what kind of tips do you have when it comes to integrating the systems and even centralizing your customer feedback in a way that people can just dive in and pull it out?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that some say, I myself included, that CX and consumer data is fairly new. For the companies that have been doing it well, they are already like pre-established and well-oiled machines with necessary technologies. But for those who are just researching and just starting out or trying to determine their roadmap to get there, it really depends. So for companies who have the means to do so, or, you know, larger companies, as I would like to say, investing in a platform such as VOC, or known as Voice of the Customer platforms, allow the ability for you to gather your structured and unstructured data into one centralized system and then assess the data, you know, using text analytics, dashboarding, and reporting to outline whatever your necessary trends are, and then work with your cross-functional business partners within your organization to provide them said insights to improve whatever aspect of the journey that they own. Could be product teams, strategy teams, marketing teams, customer service teams, communications teams, but you have to get that data into a system. And for those who may not have, you know, an entire marketing database or large aspects, you know, for consumers, I'm going to go ahead and challenge you to sit down and say, what is every single touch point a consumer can leave any comment, any piece of feedback that my team may not personally manage. Could be phone calls to customer service, reviews on a website. It could be if you've ever walked through a return process and you provided, you know, this is not what I expected. You know, we've all returned something on Amazon and you leave a free form comment there. Any piece of insight that you can get, what is that? Do you have enough that warrants a system like this? And mind you, there are many out there that are, you know, smaller to very large scale. Or do you even get started, have a rock star data analyst within your organization that would love to take on a project like this and maybe give them an opportunity to do a little bit more in that space?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And when you say Amazon, I'm always thinking that's like the easiest way to return anything. Honestly, I don't know how it could be any easier. But, you know, the other thing, let's talk about some definitions here of being customer centric. Oh, you know, here's what I was going to say before I was going to ask you that question is also I find searchability super important, right? And I do that all the time when I do our weekly customer customer studies, customer surveys, right? I just go into the Vox Pop Me platform and just search for terms. What are people talking about? Is there a trend or something like that? So in my opinion, searchability is also super important.
Searchability is very important, but they've come a long way within those platforms from like a text analytics perspective that takes what you may search for and pops it up to you. And we'll talk about two keywords in regards to consumer centricity, voice of the customer, insights and analytics, proactive versus reactive. We're trying to get to a point where we want to search if it's something specific, but you're popping up that search criteria to me proactively so we can work on it instead of reacting to a trend that we may have just noticed a few months later.
I think that's probably, and we've had a show about that before, on that's a switch for some teams, right? They do reactive work because somebody comes to them with a project, and now we want to switch that to being more proactive. Certainly a mind shift switch for some people. Now, we do like a good definition here on Real Talk, Diane. What is your definition of being customer centric? Like, how should people think about that?
So for me personally, I just put the consumer at the forefront of everything that I do. And that to me defines consumer centricity. It's really advocating for your consumer to make an experience, a product, a communication better, but not only better, adapting, right? So I must adapt to the ongoing and ever-changing consumer demand. I need to stay up to date and abreast with what's occurring within my industry. I need to put myself in their shoes and walk through the journey of shopping online, in a store, through a supplier such as Macy's. I need to contact our teams. I need to listen in on them and put myself literally in their shoes at times to get that, you know, 360 view of what a consumer can experience that shops our brands. And that can, you know, that goes just for PVH, but that's anywhere. And I always say it, I don't care if you're B2B, B2C, if you're selling services, selling cars, selling products, like what does that look like? And once you have that insight, any change that we're doing, we're investing in new technology, we're making a change on the website, you get involved in said projects or initiatives in order to provide that voice from your customer to say, does this really make it easier for them? What can we do here to better improve it, or something on the back end to help? So it's really just thinking with them at the forefront of my mind.
You know, and sometimes that's easier said than done. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, here at Vox Pop Me, we have Slack channels, right? And if I want to, I can see customer feedback quotes and NPS scores and all these things popping up in specific channels, right? So if I'm paying attention, the customer is top of mind because it's right there, right? Just a little Slack message and I see it. But I can also see on the flip side where we have, let's not pick on executives, but it could be any leader, it could be any person really, right? But they got their mind made up how it's going to be, and they just make the decision based on their old gut feeling. Is that a problem, or what other reasons can customer centricity be hard for companies?
Yeah, that's a very big problem. It's buy-in, right? It's company culture. And it's also what you do within your business, right? So I tell people, I'm in the customer service industry within the fashion and apparel industry. And if you're going out there and you're networking with your specific peers, you're running through problems, you're, you know, doing something, I'm doing that with people in the customer service and CX space, taking said insights and then coming back to champion that within PVH and the fashion and apparel industry. And that's very important, because since I'm in the customer service industry, consumer centricity should and always will be in the forefront of my mind. But I'm not the only industry within that there, right? Let's say you have somebody on finance. They could be financially centric, product teams, product centric. That person within whatever industry they're operating within your organization and their day-to-day, it is going to be very difficult to change their mind and shift and say, how would thinking about the consumer help impact what I'm focusing on specifically in order to be successful within my job? How does that help take me to the future? And that's the real tricky part, but that really relies on that cascading messaging and buy-in that's coming from your senior leaders, whether it be the support of consumer centricity, the embedding of that in your company culture, or the technological investments and understanding of finances to where that needs to go in order to do that properly.
You know, some companies, they keep an open seat right in the boardroom and they say that's the customer or represents the customer. Some companies bring video feedback, right, for customers to the boardroom. Some have slides with quotes or data or whatever. What are some of those tricks and tips that have worked for you to kind of bring the customer story home and keep that voice of the customer at the table?
Yeah. I don't sit on the board and I'm not in those meetings. One day, that's me manifesting that out there. And a lot of companies have actually done really great at creating like heads of customer experience, CCO positions. I've seen a lot of those come up recently in the upcoming years where they take that physical seat and speak to it. But what I've done is I'm not afraid to go to any individual that will hear about it, so to say. So that may even be someone from those other cross-functional teams or even the CEO, you know, networking with people within my organization to kind of just showcase to them, hey, listen, I know we're doing that, but are you aware that, you know, with this product, this is the feedback that we're getting from the consumers? And I'll take that to those design teams. I'll take, you know, information and insight to say, hey, listen, this is a problem that's broken within the experience. What can we do to champion together to go ahead and update that? So to me, you know, my driving force still is communicating with different areas of the business, providing insights as backup. So whether it be data and numbers that we have, like you were just saying, live visibility to reviews or customer commentary, and then kind of shifting their mindset to say, oh, we need to think this way. Or even if it's not that yet, maybe, hey, listen, next time we need to involve Diane and the customer service team a little bit sooner, because they come with different points that we never thought about before. So that's kind of where I am. I always tell people, do not be afraid to mention it to anyone that will listen, because once somebody understands that different view and perspective that you bring, they will bring you to that table. It may not be the boardroom, but it will be a conference room where you're outlining different strategies and projects and prioritization. And if you can showcase to them where you may need to be involved from testing abilities, or it may shift this because of the consumer need, you're just gonna have to go for it.
You just kind of have to go for it. I really do appreciate you, your public manifesting of your future promotions. No doubt in my mind, fingers crossed. And that's awesome. Now, I did write about the different ways of how you can actually share your customer feedback across the organization, right? But when I really break down my ideas, I would say they're very marketing focused. So for example, run a quote in a break room, right? Or put up a poster or run a video, show it in a conference, in a meeting in a conference room or whatever. You mentioned approach people. If I misstate, please correct me, but approach people, right? One-on-one, kind of share things and have them move things across. What other ways have you seen work to get that message across the organization and really kind of level up the communication internally?
Yeah. So insights, like, very important. So we can go ahead and talk about things, but at times you're going to have to prove that. Some people may go to you, and especially in customer services, like, what are the customer call outs? What are the calls that you got on that? What are the chats? So kind of taking our data that we're sitting on specifically, and I could state to you, hey, listen, out of all the contacts that we got for last year, this was the highest amount that was related to this, and this is where something is broken. So instead of just going up and talking to somebody about that as part of an initiative or something you're doing in the future, proactively communicating out to, you know, not the senior of the senior leaders, but the ones who may be running something. We talk about brand strategies, providing them monthly and or quarterly reporting that can help them view that and then start the conversation. And we find that that really helps.
Yep. And, you know, so the one thing that you mentioned is the actual insights. So not just the strategy of, you know, here's something we can share, but the insights. And I was just looking this up here. Nick Graham, he's the head of global insights at Mondelez, who, of course, produces one of my favorite chocolates, Milka, nowadays. But anyway, not to talk about chocolates here, but he talked about the Henry Ford quote. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. And people say that's a reason not to do research, or that's a reason not to look for insights. And his argument was, but if you really think about it, even if they would have said that, there is insights in that statement. They want something faster, whether that faster thing is a horse or a car or a tricycle or whatever it might be, right? Somebody else has to decide. So how do you come up with those, the insights that actually make the difference, that explain what change is needed?
Yeah, and I look at that in two ways, the structured or unstructured data or the information that we're soliciting from our consumers versus the ones that we're not, okay? So for example, you know, me sending out a CSAT survey or a survey to you in general in regards to your experience is one thing, yet reading a review that you post or a chat transcript that you have in with customer service to me is another. I consider it raw. I consider it unfiltered. And then from there, I'm going to look at your overall trends, right? Is it something that's minor yet causes a large financial impact that we need to adjust right away? Is it something that's major? But after you sift through it, you're realizing it's an easy fix, or the customer was just not understanding something. The problem that I see sometimes is we focus so much on numbers and volume, if it's important or not, and not necessarily the impact afterwards. So what I do is I focus on both. Like, I couldn't imagine, Christoph, going up to you and saying there was like a technical problem with your podcast and you're like, oh my gosh, what was it? Like, I got two customer call outs. They couldn't log in to see it. You would be like, what the hell does that mean? In comparison to the fact, like, there was a technical one, everybody lost audio for X amount of minutes and they were all using Internet Explorer and like, blah, 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 to give you more. So yeah, you need to couple your numbers and your reporting with impact and future insights in order to really go ahead and change the future.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about working across, I mean, you talked about the employee experience a little bit and the customer experience. Yeah. How important, and when you were talking about that, it got me thinking about back in my nonprofit world, you know, people took pride, right, in making a difference. So when they could share a success story of how something was working, they wanted to share it, right? They wanted to say, have you seen how that worked? And this donor made this difference, or whatever it was. What is the, you know, we talk a lot about getting the customer voice to the table, but how about the employees who take the call or the employees who answer the email? What can their role be in the storytelling? And if there's a role, do you think they might feel more empowered if they get to share that story?
Yes. I think about that and I pause. The answer is yes. It obviously depends on the individual. And when I think about getting their feedback, it comes full circle. So if you have an associate that's calling out a trend, an impact on a consumer, you know, something that they're noticing, and it doesn't even need to be consumer facing. It could be the fact that, Diane, I'm working within this system and it is just taking me X amount of time to get to a screen that I need to in order to support a customer. How can we make that more efficient, right? In the long run, it impacts the customer, but for their day to day and their ways of working, it helps them right then and there. So what can we do? And it's about taking said feedback, and if it turns into something, how are you honoring that? How are you giving the proper respect, kudos? It could even be something, you know, monetary. It's a gift card. Thank you for showcasing that and then fully running through to making said updates, or just, you know, call outs in monthly meetings and thanking them for this and showcasing what we're doing with the information that they have and that follow through. I find that to be really important, because what you don't want is an associate to think that their feedback is falling on deaf ears. Because if they don't know what's happening with when it's being provided, eventually they're going to stop providing it for you. Even if you're doing something in the background from it and you're not following up with me, why am I going to still give this to you when I think you're not doing anything about it? And that's really important. And, you know, we talked about employee centricity. We always talk about the consumers and what are we doing to provide a better experience for them? Are we implementing chat, self-service, better offerings in our store? What are we doing with our products and our services? But in the back end, how are you updating the technologies that your call center and customer service is using? What are you doing with your reporting suites to better, you know, understand the insights that you have? What are you doing to consolidate your systems so they get a better understanding of the consumer when they call and they can help you within this one platform to kind of move their day along? All of that is really important to keeping morale up, soliciting feedback. If I'm looking at the circle of CS and CX, it's consumer centricity, employee centricity, and they all just keep going round and round. If I fix an issue for a consumer up front, it's going to help with the back end contacts for the employees. They point out things, it helps the consumer, it helps them. It's a beautiful circle.
It is a beautiful circle when it works. And certainly the feedback loop is important. And we talked about that at length before, certainly to kind of make sure people know what's going on. Maybe my last question here, or second to last question before we wrap it up, Diane, what are some of the traits, I guess, or characteristics of people that you need on the team to actually be customer centric? And I guess it could depend, right, for the different roles, but like, what mindset do you need to have, and what should you look for to really move customer centricity forward?
Sure. So first of all, you need to be a people person. As I always say, I'm like, I'm in the business of helping others and for people. So that to me is like being, I know it's very broad, being a people person is really important. The ability to have closed loop communication as well as partnerships with others, very important on the partnership piece, not just within our team, but your cross-functional business partners that you need to deliver information to and, you know, become friends with and partners with in order to deliver on things. Those are like three key things for me. But if I was personally like looking for someone, I always look for somebody within CX and CS, even within like retail and upfront customers. Like, have you ever dealt with a positive or negative experience with a consumer? How did you handle that? How did you provide feedback back to the managerial team and what you can do to improve it? And where do you see like your career going? If we were, it's like to get into job interview-esque type terms here. Those are the key things that are important to me. And how are you focusing on every aspect around you instead of one? So as you even stated before, you know, I'll just talk about product. You may be so focused on that product that you're only working within that one silo. I want the person that's going to break down the silos and come to me and say, I'm focusing it in this five different areas because all of that's not only important to the business, but it ends up going to the customer. That's really it. Like open-minded, people-focused, ability to partner with others, and just an overall interest and or experience from dealing with those consumer issues that you may not want to deal with again, that you want to make better.
And you want to help the customers. And of course, you know, listening skills, I assume, is important because you have to listen to the people to hear what their problem is and what how you can help them. Diane, how can people connect with you? How can they reach out to you if they want to?
I'd say once you can find me on LinkedIn, that's going to be the easiest way to get in touch with me. That's my name on the screen, Diane Haleska. You just plug that in after the LinkedIn URL and you'll be good to go. And then, Christoph, I just wanted to say one more thing to you that you pointed out. Yeah. It's the listening and the finding, right, that are going to be so important. Oh, my goodness, I just lost it. Look at us here.
Listening and finding. Right.
Listening and finding it is very important, but I just want everybody to know it's okay if you're not consumer-centric. It is okay if others are not consumer-centric, but we do need to understand the shift in consumers that eventually we are all going to have to carry that within the forefront of our mind because it is like the one thing that constantly has uncertainty and changing demands. So I just strongly encourage people to get interested in it and see what's out there.
Well, and things change so quickly and so often. I mean, the only thing that's constant anymore is change. So right. Really appreciate you coming on the show, Diane. So insightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And thanks everyone for watching. I'll be back later this week with Reggie Murphy of Zendesk. See you then.